Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah Daf Gimel. We started the Masechta yesterday and we started to discuss the first line of the Mishnah about how Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim is Be'echad B'Nisan, the first day of Nisan. So the Gemara discussed how we know that Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim is Be'echad B'Nisan, and that obviously was talking about Malchei Yisrael. And then the Gemara had said that we learn it from the description of Shlomo HaMelech being associated with the description of the years from Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we see that there's some association with the years of Shlomo HaMelech and the years of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we know that it's Echad, that Echad B'Nisan, just like Nisan is how we count the years from Yitzias Mitzrayim, Nisan must be how we count the years from Shlomo HaMelech as well. So the Gemara said, well, how do we know that we count the years of Yitzias Mitzrayim from Nisan? So the Gemara learned that out from a combination of two psukim. One pasuk that had the yard site of Aaron HaKohen as Rosh Chodesh Av, and it describes that it was Ba'arboim Shana, that it was in the 40th year, Vayal Aaron HaKohen al Pi Hashem Vayam Hashem B'Shnas Ha'arboim, in the 40th year, let's say, Spnei Yisrael Me'eretz Yisrayim. And then we had another pasuk, Ba'arboim Shana Ba'ashteyos HaChodesh, in Chodesh Shvat, also in the 40th year. Well, if Shvat is also in the 40th year after Av, then it must be that there was no Rosh Hashanah in between. Tishrei came in between, so it must be that there was no Rosh Hashanah in between. So that's how we know that the Rosh Hashanah is for counting for the years since we left Mitzrayim is in Nisan, and therefore Rosh Hashanah for Malachim is also in Nisan. That was the Limud. So we left off yesterday where the Gemara was asking the question, yeah, but how do you know that the description of what happened in Chodesh Shvat was the Shvat following the death of Aaron? Maybe it was the Shvat preceding the death of Aaron, and Rosh Hashanah for Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore for Malachim, would in fact be in Tishrei, and would not be in Nisan. So we left off with that question yesterday. So first the Gemara is going to answer that question, then we're going to get into proof that Aaron must have died, as part of the answer, proof that Aaron must have died before the Milchama with Sichon, and the Gemara is going to give reasons why Sichon has three different names, and then after proving that Rosh Hashanah, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, is not between Av and Shvat, because that's all we really are able to prove conclusively so far, the Gemara is going to say, yeah, but how do we know it's not any of the other months? That doesn't necessarily mean it's Nisan. That just knocks out any month between Av and Shvat, because we know that it was the 40th year in Av, and it was still the 40th year in Shvat, but it could still be sometime between Shvat and Av. So the Gemara is going to spend most of Amidah trying to figure that out, and then the Gemara is going to shift over from Malchei Yisrael to Malchei Umos Ha'olam. On the bottom of Amidah, we're going to start discussing when is the Rosh Hashanah from Malachim, when we talk about Malchei Umos HaOlam, when we talk about non-Jewish kings. And that's going to bring us into a discussion about Koresh, and how maybe he gets counted amongst the Malchei Yisrael, even though he was from the Malchei Umos HaOlam, for some reason maybe he's included in the Malchei Yisrael. And we're going to discuss that personality of Koresh a little bit, why he had three names, what they symbolized, was he a good guy, a bad guy, at different points in history, maybe he was different things. So let's begin with, we left off three lines from the bottom of that Bezum and Bez. Again, where we left off with that question, that how do we know that the story of Aaron HaKohen's death in Rosh Chodesh Av happened before the other pasuk that we quote in Chodesh Shvat of Barbaim Shana Bashteyas Chodesh Be'echad HaChodesh, where Moshe Rabbeinu gives some sort of speech? Maybe the Maisa de Shvat happened before Aaron HaKohen's death. So says Mar Lo Sal Gadai Tuchtuchsiv Achrei Akoso HaSichon. The pasuk describes that it was after the war with Sichon Melech HaMori that this happened. But we know that when Aaron HaKohen died, Sichon was still alive, meaning that pasuk of Vayibar Abayim Shana Bashteyas HaChodesh, the pasuk that describes Chodesh Shvat, the very next pasuk says, and this was after the war with Sichon that Moshe Rabbeinu was making this speech. So the pasuk that describes Chodesh Shvat must have been after the war with Sichon, so therefore it had to be after Aaron HaKohen, it had to be after Aaron HaKohen died, because when Aaron HaKohen died, Sichon was not yet defeated. Sichon was still around when Aaron HaKohen died. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says Vayishma Kanani Melech Arad, that the Kanani Melech Arad heard Mashmor Shama. What did they hear exactly? Shama Shemes Aaron. They heard that Aaron HaKohen had died v'nistalko Anane Kavod, and that the Anane Kavod had left Klal Yisrael v'kasavar nitna Rishos Lilachim Yisrael. So they assumed that if the Anane Kavod are no longer there, so they have Rishos to fight a Melchama against Klal Yisrael. That's what the pasuk means when it says, simple reading is that the Klal Yisrael saw that Aaron had died, but they saw that they were afraid, that Klal Yisrael had what to be afraid about. Why? Ki gava Aaron, because Aaron was dead. So ki over here doesn't mean that. It's not they saw that Aaron died, but they were afraid. Vayirou, they were afraid. Why? Ki gava Aaron, because Aaron died. Kidre Shlakish, like Reish Lakish explains, that word ki could mean a lot of different things. Dam Reish Lakish, ki mishamish bedal l'shonos. The word ki could actually mean four different things. E could mean if. Dilma, it could mean maybe. Ella, it can mean rather, meaning that we're trying to change something that we just said. And daha, it could mean because. So it could be that when we say that they saw that Aaron died, it doesn't mean that Aaron died. It means that they were afraid because of Aaron's death, and they knew that it now left them vulnerable. So that's what happened. The Melchemet Sichon only occurred because of Aaron's death. So when Aaron died, obviously Sichon was still around. Now, if you look in the top Tosos, Tosos points out, Vishma Knani Melech Arad, Bemedrash Amrinan Dahainu Amalek. The Medrash says the Melech Arad, that's actually a reference to Amalek. Kemosha Yasar Apayot bePizmon Shel Parsha Zachar, says if you look in the Pizmon of Parsha Zachar, it describes Ksus V'Loshon Shina Hayos Kemelech Arad, that one of Amalek's tricks was that they changed their clothing and their language to make themselves look like they weren't Amalek, to make themselves look like they're Melech Arad, and that way Klal Yisrael is going to daven. They're not going to daven to be saved from Amalek. They're going to be davening to be saved from some other nation, and that way Amalek will be safer in attacking. But it's still a good raya that Sichon must have still been around when Aaron died, because even though it in fact was not Sichon that they were fighting, but why would you dress up like a nation that no longer exists? If you want to pretend you're somebody, so you got to pretend that you're somebody that still exists. So obviously Sichon must have still been around, even if they were dressing up as even if it was not really Sichon, it was Amalek, they were just dressing up as Sichon. Now the Marsha writes that when the Paitan says Ksus v'Lashon Shina, it does not mean that they were Meshana both the Ksus and the Lashon, that they were Meshana both the clothing and the language to be like Melech Arad, because they only really changed the language. The Ksus was actually Kishal Amalek, it was the Amaleki clothing that they were wearing, and that's how Klal Yisrael knew that it wasn't the Kanani, that it was in fact Amalek, and they davened that they should be saved Stam, because Klal Yisrael saw that there was some confusing evidence over here. On one hand, their language suggested that they were Sichon. On the other hand, their clothing suggested they were Amalek. So Klal Yisrael didn't daven for any particular nation. They just said, we should be saved. We should be saved from whoever this is. We don't know what these people are. But whatever they are, we should be saved from them. So Marsha says, so from the way the Medrash tells that story, it's not that they changed both their clothing and their language. When and that's how Rashi says on Chumash, but when the Paitan says that they were Mishana, Lashonum, and Ksuso, means they were Mishana, their Lashon from their Ksus, that there wasn't a match between the Lashon and the Ksus. That's what the Paitan had in mind. Tosos apparently holds not that way. Tosos understands that they were Mishana Gam Ksuso, the Gam Lashono, that they changed both their Ksus and their Lashon. And even though Rashi and Chumash, the Aruch Lener points out, even though Rashi and Chumash says like the Marsha says over here, but he points out that in the Medrash it says that they were Mishana both the Ksus and the Lashon. It's just that they recognized them by face that they were Amalekim. Meaning the Medrash does say that they were confused, that there was some sort of indication that they were Amalekim, but it wasn't the Ksus or the Lashon that gave the indication that they were fighting against Amalekis. It was the facial features that gave way that they were fighting with Amalekis. So that's why Klal Yisrael davened Stam. So exactly what happened is not 100% clear, but Tosa's point is still well taken, that you wouldn't dress up as a nation that no longer exists. So that's why it's a good raya that Sichon in fact still exists. Now the Gemara over here says that there are four different ways that the word ki, four different translations for the word ki depending on the context of the word. Now Rashi points out that there's one that's missing over here, and that's the simple reading of the pasuk, Vayiru Kaleida Ki Gava Aaron. Simple reading is, and everyone saw that Ki means that Aaron died. None of these mean that. Ella is turning something around. Rather, daha, because which of them is that? Asher is that, right? Why isn't it Asher? So Rashi points out the kala mishamshin b'makom ka'asher u'b'makom asher kulon lashon imhem. That's all included in im. That's all included in the e in the first one when you say asher or ka'asher. Shamatzina b'kam mukamos im mishamish lashon ka'asher, because a lot of times in the Torah the word im doesn't always mean if. The word im means if, and also it also means that. Im kesef talva. It's not an option that a person can choose to lend money or not to lend money, that it's purely a dvar reshus, that if you happen to lend money, then don't charge ribbis. No. It's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to lend money to somebody else. So it's im. Im kesef talva, that you have a, that you have a mitzvah. So it's a that. It's not an if. So Rashi says both asher and ka'asher are included in the lashon of im. Tosus of here disagrees. Tosus at the end of Dimur Maskel Ella writes that for kala mishamshim b'loshon ka'asher loshon im he mishamshim mishamshim b'kamadukli im mishamish b'loshon ka'asher kimo v'im ye'yov alareza ka'asher yiyah, that ka'asher, that it will be. That, he says, is a loshon of im. That a lot of times im means that we're describing something that's definitely going to happen. V'im yihiyah ha'yovel. What do you mean v'im ye'yov? It means when a yovel year comes, it's going to come, it's going to happen. So it's vada yihiyah, so that's ka'asher. But he says, Mashe Pirish Kan Bakuntras Kala Mashamish Bloshon Asher Loshon Imheim Lo Yitachein. But he says the word asher is not necessarily included in im. Ka'asher is included in im. Ka'asher means that it will happen. Asher means that. You see that it did happen. He says asher is not included in lashon im. Ubusofa magarish pirish b'kuntra shem lashon deha v'chein ikr. And Rashi says elsewhere that asher is included in deha, in because. That deha doesn't only mean because, but it also means that. It means that something did happen, not that something will happen. So even though it seems that there are really six meanings of the word ki, says Rashi and Tosfos over here, the Gemara, when it says four, is because there are four general meanings, and what the other two meanings that you can come up with of asher and kasher are somehow included in these four already. So says the Gemara, mi dami, hasam kanan hachasichon. But still, how do we bring any raya whatsoever from this pasuk that that Aaron HaKohen was alive when Aaron HaKohen died, that Sichon was still around? This just proves that Vayishma Kanani Melech Arad, that it was the Kananim. What does that have to do with Sichon? It doesn't tell us anything about Sichon. So says Gemara Tana, who Sichon, who Arad, who Kanan? It's all the same. Sichon, Kanan, Arad, they're all the same nation. Why are they called three different things? Sichon Shedomel Sayach Bamidbar. They're called Sichon because they're like a Sayach out in the Midbar, like a small horse out in the, that's wandering out in the desert. Kanan Al Shem Malchuso. Kanan is because that's the name of the Malchus, that's the name of the country. Umashimo, Arad Shimo. And what's their actual names of these people is Arad. That's the name of the nationality. That's what they're called. Ikada Amri, others say Arad Shedomala Arud Bamidbar. That Arad comes from the fact that they're like a wild donkey in the Midbar. That's descriptive when we call them Arad. Kanan Al Shem Malchuso. Kanan is because of their Malchus. And Umash Shemo, Sichon Shemo. Sichon is in fact their real name. But those are but it's either way, it's all three refer to the same thing. Now one of the Achronim raises the question that you're gonna say that they're like this wild donkey. So presumably we're saying that they're dangerous, that they can attack at any time and they're dangerous. Why do you have to say like an Arud Bamidbar? We're just an Arud. An Arud is a wild donkey. We get it. It's an Arud Abar. Why do you have to mention that it's out in the Midbar? So I say in the Masifta, he quotes from one of the Achronim that he suggests based on Rashi, Maseches Brachos, Taflam Gimel Amud Aleph, B'Shem Bahag, that when an Arud bites a person, Im Ha'arud Kodem L'mayim, Meis Ha'adam. If the Arud gets to water first, the person's going to die. Vima Adam Kodem L'mayim, Meis Ha'arud. If the person gets to water first, then the Arud's going to die. So the Gemara tries to say that Sichon is Doma La'arud Bamidbar, which is the most dangerous because there's no water for you to run to. So there's therefore no refuge. refuah l'makaso. So if there's no refuah l'makaso, you're not going to, apparently water is the way to take care of the makah when you're bitten by an arad, but you're out in the middle of the midbar. So he says that's what it means, that that it's more dangerous. The pasha pshat, of course, is that it's more dangerous because it's not used to people. It's out in the middle of the midbar. So any wild animal that's out in the middle of the midbar is more dangerous than an animal that's around people all the time. So that's the pasha pshat. I thought it was cute that they used that gemara in brachos as an explanation of why an arud b'midbar is apparently more dangerous. Different animals. Okay, I don't know. So after what we've just proven is that the Rosh Hashanah for Yetzias Mitzrayim is not between Av and Shvat, but that doesn't tell us that we know for sure that the Rosh Hashanah Yetzias Mitzrayim is Nisan. That when we count how many years it's been since Yetzias Mitzrayim, we count it based on Nisan being the Rosh Hashanah. Veim Rosh Hashanah Iyar. Maybe the Rosh Hashanah for Yetzias Mitzrayim is Iyar. So it says Gemara Lo Salkadai Tichsiv. Can't be, because the pasuk says Vayhiba Chodesh Harishon in the month of Nisan. Chodesh Harishon, that for sure we know means Nisan, because Rishon Melechem L'chadshei Hashanah, and we know that Nisan has to be the first month. So the pasuk says Vayibah Chodesh Rishon B'Shana Hashenis Be'echad HaChodesh Hukam HaMishkan, that it was in Nisan of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the Mishkan was put up. Uksiv Vayibah Shana Hashenis B'Chodesh Hasheni Nala Ha'anan Me'al Mishkan HaEdus, that it was in Iyar of the second year. So if Iyar was in fact Rosh Hashanah, that Iyar would have been called the third year, meaning because you would count, because the year would change when in Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So midikai be Nisan v'kari l'shana shenis, from the fact that we're in Nisan and we call it the second year, v'kai be Iyar v'kari l'shana shnia, and we're in Iyar, and again we still call it the second year, v'chal Rosh Hashanah l'aviyarhu. So you see, the Rosh Hashanah must not be Iyar. If Rosh Hashanah was Iyar, we would not have called it the second year. So ve'emer Rosh Hashanah Sivan. So it says, okay, but maybe Rosh Hashanah is Sivan. We still don't know exactly. We still know for sure that it's Nisan, maybe it's Sivan. So it says, "Maralos Salkadai Tichsiv B'Chodesh Hashlishi Latzeis Bnei Yisrael Meiretz Mitzrayim." Pasuk says, "In the third month that the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, V'im Isa B'Chodesh Hashlishi B'Shana Hashenis Latzeis V'Gomer Mibayilei." And if it's true that Sivan is considered Rosh Hashanah, it should have said B'Chodesh Hashlishi in the second year, because it's the calendar would have turned on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So that's how we see that it's not Sivan. Now the Rishonim are bothered by Akasha, the Rashba, the Rad, that you could say that Rosh Hashanah maybe is in the middle of Sivan, and the Pasuk is talking about Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and that's why it's still B'Shana Rishona, meaning that's why we call it the first year that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and not the second year that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, because maybe, yeah, it isn't Sivan, it's just not Rosh Chodesh Sivan, it's somewhere in the middle of Sivan. So the Rishonim explain, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Rad, that the entire Sugya, it's obvious, the Gemara is taking as Dov Pashut, that a single Chodesh is not going to be split into two. That you're not going to have a Rosh Hashanah right in the middle of the month. In the Mishnah we learned yesterday, we have a couple of them that are in the middle of a month. Rosh Hashanah li'ilanos, according to the Beis Hillel, is on Tu B'Shvat. Rosh Hashanah l'regalim is Pesach. So we see that it's in the middle of the month. So he says, so the Rishonim explain, but those have reasons why they have to be in the middle of the month. For regalim, because Bal Ta'acher has to be going on Yom Tovim, not just on Stam Rosh Chodesh. Bal Ta'acher is obviously based on Yom Tovim. And when it comes to Ilan, it's because it's Basar Chanata Azlinan and Rov Geshamim, and that happens to happen in the middle of Shvat, so it's based on a physical reality of what occurs in the climate in Eretz Yisrael. But when it comes to just counting years, where we could count by any point, so it's Pashut that it's got to be counted from Rosh Hashanah. That's why we have to assume that if Sivan is still described as the first year that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, that the Rosh Hashanah for counting for Yetzias Mitzrayim cannot be in Sivan, because if it would be in Sivan, it would be Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So says Mar, okay, but Ve'ima Tammuz, Ve'ima Av, Ve'ima Adar, we still haven't exhausted all the possibilities. It could still be Tammuz, it could still be Av, it could still be Adar. How do I know that you count Yetzias Mitzrayim from Nisan, the years of Yetzias Mitzrayim from Nisan? Sa Elam Rav Lazar Mehacha, we learn from the following. Ve'yachal Livnos B'Chodesh Hasheni B'Sheni B'Shnas Arbal L'Malchuso, that Shlomo HaMelech began to build in the second month, in the fourth year of his Malchus. So obviously there's an extra word in there. What's that extra basheni doing in there? What's that referring to? My sheni, what's that sheni? Lav sheni li'erek shemonu bal malchusav. Doesn't it mean the second month from when we count his malchus, and from there we see that we count from Malchei Yisrael, and therefore for Yitzias Mitzrayim also from Nisan, because we're saying that it happened in the second month of the year, and we know that the second month of the year is always counted as Iyar, right? And then we're also saying that it was the second month that we're counting as Malchus. So it must be that we can, the first month of counting a Malchus is Nisan, just like the first month of counting a year in general is Nisan. So says Gemara, no, Maskel Ravina ve'im sheni b'chodesh. Maybe sheni means the second day of the month. Maybe it means it was the second month of the year, but it was the second day of the month, and we don't know how to count for the Malchus. Now, it's interesting. With the entire conversation we've been having until now is to try to determine when the Rosh Hashanah for counting Yetzias Mitzrayim is. Now we're shifting to discuss when the Rosh Hashanah was for counting Shlomo Melech's reign as king. But remember, Rabbi Yochanan brought us that pasuk that linked the two, that we have a hekesh, that however you count one, you count the other. And our primary interest is really in the Melech over here. That's what the Mishnah was speaking about. It's just that Yetzias Mitzrayim was a way to get to figuring out how to count the years of the Melech. So it's not so bad that we're going back to talking about a Melech. That's really what our focus should be. We should have been on the whole time. So says Gemara again. How do you know Sheni means the second month of his malchus? Maybe it means the second day of the month. Simkein sheni b'chodesh b'ediav k'siv bei. It would have said sheni b'chodesh. It would have said the second day of the month. Ve'ema b'sheni b'shabbos. So maybe it means on Monday. Maybe that's what it means by sheni, that it was the second day of the week, that it was sheni b'shabbos. Says Gemara, two reasons that can't be true. Chado d'lashkan sheni b'shabbos t'ksiv. First of all, whenever the Torah gives dates, it never talks about Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It never talks about day of the week, so they wouldn't say sheni b'shabbos. Va'od makas sheni basra l'sheni kama. And second of all, there's a link between the second sheni and the first sheni. Ma sheni kama chodesh av sheni basra chodesh. Just like the first sheni in the pasuk is about a month, the second sheni in the pasuk must also be about a month. So you see that the malchus of Shlomo HaMelech was counted from the month of Nisan, and the second month of any year of his malchus is the month of Iyar. So that's how we know that Rosh Hashanah l'Melachim must be in Nisan. So when all the dust settles, it seems that we have two opinions of how we know that Rosh Hashanah l'Melachim is in Nisan. One is that we compare Rosh Hashanah l'Melachim to Rosh Hashanah l'Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was Rabbi Yochanan's Shita that we had right in the middle of Beis on Beis and that we spent all this time discussing. And now we have Rabbi Lazar who says, no, you don't need Rosh Hashanah l'Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have it straight by Melachim. You have it straight from Shlomo HaMelech. That Shlomo HaMelech, the way the pasuk describes the years of his reign and the months of his reign, you see clearly that his years are counted from Nisan and not from any other month. So that's the pashtus, that it seems like there are two different opinions as to how we know the Rosh Hashanah l'Melachim is from Nisan. Now the Gemara is somewhat confusing then, because now the Gemara is going to say Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Yochanan, that we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. So if you have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan, Lecharet should only quote the pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan quoted, or the series of psukim that we use for Rabbi Yochanan, namely that we know Rosh Hashanah l'Melachim from the fact that we associate Rosh Hashanah l'Melachim with Rosh Hashanah l'Yetzias Mitzrayim. But this brisa is going to quote every pasuk; it's going to quote all the psukim we had in the Gemara until this point. So that's something that that the Rishonim discuss why this is Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Yochanan and not like Rabbi Lazar, if we're going to quote every single pasuk. So let's just see it inside first. So Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Yochanan, brisa like Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin she'in monalem l'melachim el minisan. How do we know that we only count for kings from Nisan? Shenemar pasuk says ve'yibishvanim shanim v'arba me'yashanim l'tzeis pnei yisrael me'yitzrayim. Uksiv ayal aron hakohen al ha'ar al pi Hashem. Uksiv ayibarbam shanim v'ashtei asar chodesh. Uksiv achrei kosa sichon. Va'omer ve'yishma kanani. Va'omer, I don't know why we shift from uksiv to va'omer. Va'omer ve'yir kolei daki gava aron. Va'omer ve'yibichodesh rishon b'shanah shenis. Va'omer ve'yibishanah shenis b'chodesh Hasheni va'omer b'chodesh shlishi l'tzeis b'nei Yisrael va'omer ve'chal livnos v'gomer. So every single pasuk we quoted from beginning to end, we just mentioned in that price. So it doesn't seem that it's a really tiny kavas to Rabbi Yochanan as opposed to Rabbi Lazar. So that's what Tosafot points out, that even though with pasuk we're mentioning the pasuk of Rabbi Lazar, that's because Rabbi Lazar also needs the hekesh of Rabbi Yochanan in order that we shouldn't say that Sheni is Sheni l'malchuso, since he was Malach b'Nisan. So since you need the hekesh of the Malchus Shlomo to Yitzias Mitzrayim, we need to know the years of Yitzias Mitzrayim from Nisan and all the psukim in the hemshach of the sugya as well. So even though from the psukim themselves, there's no proof that Yitzias Mitzrayim is counted from Nisan, but since we know that Malchus Shlomo is counted from Nisan and Malchus Shlomo is hukash to Yitzias Mitzrayim, so it has the same number. We assume that they have the same count, the same way of counting them. But most of the Rishonim assume not that way. Most of the Rishonim assume that Rabbi Lazar doesn't require the Hekish, that he learns directly from the Pasuk of Basheni. So the Rashba says that you have to say that which the Gemara says, Talia Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, is not coming La Fuke Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Yochanan, at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan's Shita didn't stand. Remember, we rejected Rabbi Yochanan. We had no real proof for Rabbi Yochanan. We needed Rabbi Lazar. And the Brice over here that we're quoting actually brings the Pasuk of Rabbi Lazar. It's just that the Brice is bringing the entire Shakla Vitaria that begins with Rabbi Yochanan. That's the Tanya Kavase. Meaning Tanya Kavase, that this whole Shakla Vitaria we had in the Gemara, it's all really in the Brice. The Brice just says it in much more, we never would have understood it straight from the Brice, because the Brice is obviously much more terse, just quotes the Psukim. But the whole Shakla Vitaria with Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, the whole story is alluded to in this Brice. So that's how the Rov Rishonim seem to understand that Rabbi Lazar doesn't need Rabbi Yochanan at all. But along the way, we said over here that Basheni cannot be referring to the day of the week, because the Torah never refers to a day of the week. So says Tosfos, really, it never refers to the day of the week. You don't have to get that far into the Torah to see where it refers to the day of the week, to the second day of the week, as Sheni, Vaksiv, Vayhi Boker, Yom Sheni. Yom Sheni. So it's the second day of the week, right? That's Monday. Mefarish Yushalmi Ein LeMeidin Ribriyaso Shalolam. So the Yushalmi says, nah, you don't bring a raya from Briyaso Shalolam. Yushalmi doesn't explain why not. Why can't you bring a raya from Briyaso Shalolam? So says Tosos, Kolomar Delava Shabbos Kai El Sheyom Sheni LeBriyaso Shalolam. Because that's not Sheni B'Shabbos. We weren't counting the Shabbos because there was no Shabbos yet. It was Sheni of creation. So that's not the same as Sheni B'Shabbos. And maybe even a different type of day. The days there are those that suggest that the days of Briyas HaOlam were not the days that we have. They didn't have the same length of time that our days had. We didn't have it couldn't have been normal days before the sun and the moon and everything was put into place. So whatever that means, it's not what we know of as a day. That's how Tosafot understands that you can't learn from Briyas HaShalom, because that's not Sheni B'Shabbos. The Rashba explains that Yerushalmi that it's only coming to tell me what was created on Yom Sheni to distinguish it from Yom Shlishi, but it's not coming to tell me a date of Yom Sheni. It's just coming to tell me what was created when. The Ritva explains it a little differently. He says, "Well, how else should it have said? Meaning, there was no such thing as a month. There was no year. There was nothing else yet that existed except for days. So obviously it's only going to describe days. There was no other way. There's no other frame of reference. But once another frame of reference exists, we never go back to describe something by the day of the week in the Torah. So that's how the Ritva goes on to say that the reason we don't find names for the days of the week, the Ritva says, we don't find in the Torah that there's a Sunday, a Monday. We mentioned this yesterday. The Ritva echoes what the Ramban says, which is not surprising, obviously, but the Ritva says that we, in all other languages, there are names for the days of the week, but you don't have it in Torah, so that we could constantly be remembering Shabbos. The reason we call Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, is we should realize that we're constantly counting toward Shabbos, and that's the same thing with the days of the month, that we don't have names of the months in the Torah. It's always Chodesh Rishon, Chodesh Sheni, because we're constantly trying to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Medrash Rabbah says in Bereishis Rabbah, that the Shemos HaChadashim were Alu Mibavel, which means it was way later in history that we came up with these names, Nisa and Iyar, all these names. You don't find Nisa and Iyar mentioned in Pesukim at all. It was only after Klal Yisrael went to Bavel, and these are Shemos Parsiim, that they brought back with them from Bavel. So even when Psukim after Golas Bavel started referring to these names, they're constantly referring to Yitzias Mitzrayim. But Chodesh Harishon Hu Chodesh Nisan, Megillas Esther says. B'shneimas Chodesh Hu Chodesh Adar, right? So it mentions both, so that we mention Golas Bavel together with Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Sfasemis says, wait a second, there's another time that we mention the day of the week. So Sfasemis points out, Parshas B'shalach, Vayihi Bayom HaShishi Laktu Lecha Mishnah, that when the man fell, on Yom HaShishi, we took Lecha Mishnah. That's the day of the week. That's Friday. It's talking about Yom HaShishi. So he says, you see the Torah talks about the Yom HaShvua. So he says that maybe that's only Yom HaShishi the Yeridas HaMan. Maybe it's not Yom HaShishi about it being Friday. It's saying the sixth day that the man fell. Happened to have been Friday also, but it's describing it as the sixth day that the man fell. But then he says, Yom HaShishi Lechem Yomayim, that's got to be going about Shishi LeShabbos, because every Yom HaShishi we need Lechem Yomayim. Every Friday you need double the amount of bread. So that's difficult.
But they're unless, telling you something unique about that specific day and everywhere else. There's no importance to the fact that it happened on a specific day of the week.
Ah, right. Meaning when the day could be identified by the day of the month, so then in a chinami, right. That's I think what the Maritz Chai says, that when the day could be identified by the day of the month, then it would solve and it would serve the same purpose, so we don't identify it by the day of the week. But when there's something that specifically happened because it was that day of the week, because it was Erev Shabbos, so then you're going to call it Bayom HaShishi. But as a rule, when we just stop giving a date, we don't mention the day of the month. Rivash brings a raya from our sugya that when writing shtaros, it's not important to write the day of the week. So our minhag is we do when we write a ksuba, b'sheni b'shabbos, right? We mention the day of the week, but he says it's not really important to write the day of the week. You only really need to write the date based on the date of the month, which day of the month it is and which month it is and which year it is based on our sugya. Okay, says Gemara further now. Amar of Chisto, lo shanu el malchei Yisrael. Our entire conversation up until this point has only been about malchei Yisrael. What about non-Jewish kings? Aval malchei when it comes to Malchei Masolam, we start counting from Tishrei. Shenamar Divrei Nechemya ben Chakalia Viva Chodesh Kislev Shnas Asrim Uksiv Vahiba Chodesh Nisan Shnas Asrim Lachashtasta. So you see that Nisan is not the Rosh Chodesh. Midikai beKislev v'Kari leShnas Asrim. From the fact that we're in Kislev and we call it the 20th year, v'Kai beNisan v'Kari leShnas Asrim, and then again in Nisan we're still calling it the 20th year, so it must be the calendar doesn't change in Nisan. Mechal de Rosh Hashanah lav Nisanu. So you see very clearly that Rosh Hashanah is not in Nisan. Tosus points out over here, Af pli sheyesh kama chadashim bein Nisan leTishrei, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's in Tishrei. There are a lot of other months that are between Nisan and Tishrei. Sheyesh lomar shem Rosh Hashanah, that could have been the Rosh Hashanah. Mikom lakom hol da afikte min Nisan ukmei Tishrei dashkan dav Rosh Hashanah lekam devarim leshmitin liyovlos. But it's most logical that if it's not Nisan, it's going to be Tishrei, because those are the two Rosh Hashanahs that we know of. Why is it, Taka, that the Umos HaOlam get the count Dafka from Tishrei and we count Dafka from Nisan? So the Rishonim deal with that. The Ran over here explains that since Yitzias Mitzrayim was the beginning of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, because without Yitzias Mitzrayim we would have been Meshubad and we wouldn't have even been able to entertain the possibility of a Malchus, so every Melech, Malchus Yisrael, should make his Malchus as a Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim, to realize where we came from, to realize that we never would have been able to have a Malchus at all without Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Malchei Umos HaOlam come from Tishrei because it's the Malchei Umos HaOlam, because it's possible that a Melech from the Malchei Umos HaOlam is going to take the throne in Nisan, and you can't just have him count from whenever he takes the throne, because what happens if he takes it in Nisan? So people are going to think that they count the same way Malchei Yisrael count, and therefore they were Koveya a specific Rosh Hashanah, and the most logical time to be Koveya that Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Hashanah is the Bria Sa'olam. Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that it's more than that. He says the chiluk is that anan b'didan v'inu b'ditu. We do with what matters to us, they do what matters to them. That the entire maila of the Umos Ha'olam was that they are created in this world, so they count based on the Bria, based on Bria Sa'olam b'tishrei. Klal Yisrael's malchus, Klal Yisrael's maila, what makes Klal Yisrael special is that Kadosh Baruch Hu was makriv us la'avodasa, that he brought us to serve him. He chose us to serve him, and that happened with Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we count the Yitzias Mitzrayim, meaning every other nation is uh, is here and is special because they are a medaber. They're above animal life. They were created separately from all of animal life. They were created as descendants of Adam Rishon. So their whole mahus goes back all the way to Briyas HaOlam. What makes us different, though, is what is Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. He says that very similar to what the Chaver tells the Melech HaKuzari in the Kuzari, where he asks, why is it that we're constantly saying that Ani Hashem Elokecha? Why isn't Aseres Dibros? So Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim. That wasn't Hashem's most impressive feat. Hashem's most impressive feat was that He created the world. Why isn't Ani Hashem Elokecha Shebrasi Shemayim Va'aretz? That would have been more appropriate. Why is it Hotzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim? So that's what he says in the Kuzari, that for us, what makes us special is Yetzias Mitzrayim. What makes us special is not the Bria Shemayim Va'aretz. So that's why we specifically refer to that. So the Gemara says further, now Bishlam Heich Mefarishta Dila Artach Shasta Elahaimi Maidla Artach Shasta. Meaning we have two psukim that prove that the Rosh Hashanah could not have been in Nisan, because you have one pasuk that describes Kislev of the 20th year, and the other one describes Nisan of the 20th year. Says the Gemara, but only one of them mentions that Melech. So how do you know that it's the same Melech in both psukim? Dilma Leminyana Achrina Havai. Maybe the second pasuk is some other account that we're referring to, and it's not at all about the same Melech. So Amrav Papa, Shnas Esrim, L'Gzer Shava. We have Gzer Shava, Shnas Esrim. We referred to this Gzer Shava yesterday, but didn't say what it was about. This is that Gzer Shava. Mahasam La'achar Tashasta, Avhach La'achar Tashasta. So it's referring to the same person. Omi Maide Maisa De Kislev Kadim, Dilma Maisa De Nisan Kadim. But how do you know that it's said in order, that it's in that order, that first was the pasuk about Kislev in the 20th year, and then about Nisan in the 20th year? Maybe the pasuk first described Nisan in the 20th year, and then it later happened Kislev in the 20th year, and the Rosh Hashanah really is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that's why. It was just that we have the order reversed. Says Mar Lo Salka Daitach. No, that's not the case. We know that that's not true. Titania. Dvarim Sha'amar Hanani L'Nechemya B'Kislev Amar Nechemya L'Melech B'Nisan. Because we know that which Hanani said to Nechemya in Kislev, Nechemya said to the Melech in Nisan. So we know that the Kislev conversation happened before the Nisan conversation, and still we describe both of them as being in the 20th year. So that's how we know that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is not the Rosh Hashanah L'Melechim. How do we, where are the psukim that describe this? So pretty much the majority of the rest of the Amar is just direct quotes from the Pesukim. Dvarim Shomach Hanani L'Nechemya B'Kislev Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Nechemya in Parak Aleph in the first three Pesukim, Divrei Nechemya Ben Chachalia Vayhiba Chodesh Kislev Shnas Esrim, that it was in the Chodesh Kislev of the 20th year. So Nechemya says, Vaniya Yisi B'Shushan Abira, and I was in Shushan Abira. Vayavo Hanani Echad Me'achai Hu Va'anashim Yehuda V'Eshalem Al Yehudim Apleita Asher Nishrum Menashevi V'Al Yerushalayim. And Hanani came, and I asked him and the other fellows that were with him about what was going on with the Jewish people and the Shevi and about Yerushalayim. Vayom li hanisharim asher nishru min haShevi shamba medina bara gedola ubecherpa v'chomus Yerushalayim faretzes. Nothing good is going on. Nothing's good is going on with the Jewish people. Nothing good is going on with Yerushalayim. Ushara nitzu ve'esh. And that's the description that happened. So Nechemya then reports that back to the Melech. Amar Nechemya leMelech ben Nisan. Nechemya reports that to the Melech in Nisan. Why? Shenemar, the pasuk says, and this is just the continuation of this is the next chapter in Sefer Nechemya. This is Nechemya Beis. Vayihi b'chodesh Nisan shnas esrim la'achar tashasta hamelech yayin lefanav ve'esas hayayin ve'etna lemelech v'lo yisirah lefanav. That I went to the king and I picked up the wine and I gave him the wine and I saw that he was okay with me being there. Vayomer li hamelech madu. And the king says to Nechemya, why do you look so down and you look so upset? You're not sick. Obviously, I see that you're upset, not because you're sick, but you're upset about something. And he was very afraid. He says, how could I not be upset? The city where my forefathers are are buried. Yerushalayim is burning. Vayomli Amelech al maze ata mevakesh espal elokei hashemayim. What is it that you need? Vayomer lemelech im alamelech tov im yitav avdecho lefanecha asher tishlachani el Yehuda el ir kivros avosai veavnena. Send me back so I could rebuild it. Vayomli Amelech vashegal yoshevas etzlo ad masayia mahalachacha umasay tashu vayitav lefnei Amelech vayishalcheni vet nelo zman. And the king gave him, and he gave him a time frame that he had to that he had to rebuild Yerushalayim. So the whole conversation, it was repeated from the Chemya later on in Chodesh Nisan. So it's obvious that the Chodesh Nisan conversation happened after the Chodesh Kislev conversation. So a couple of very quick points over here. First of all, in terms of the history of the Malchei Paras, the Koresh was the Melech Paras who was an Oev Yisrael for three, and he was a Melech for 3 years. Started in the year 3390 from Brias HaOlam, and the first year of his Malchus, Hashem gave him the inspiration to decide to build the Beis Hamikdash, and he gave the clay Beis Hamikdash that Nebuchadnezzar brought to Bavel when the Beis Hamikdash was burnt down, and the Anshe Knesset Gedola, led by Zerubbabel, the grandson of Yechaniah Melech Yehuda, and other men, women, and children of Klal Yisrael went, and they started building a Mizbeach, and as soon as they built the Yisod of the Mizbeach, the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael wrote to Koresh saying that they should stop the building because the Jews are trying to rebel against him, and that it's all for bad, and that he made a big mistake, he's going to dig his own grave by allowing this to go on. So in the third year of his Malchus, Koresh was killed. After him came Achashverosh, just to give a little perspective of who we're talking about. After Koresh came Achashverosh as the husband of Esther, you know, from the Megillah. And his Malchus started in the year 3392, and he was Melech for 14 years. Purim happened toward the end of those 14 years, and after Achashverosh came Daryavesh HaAchron, who was in the year 3406, and he was the son of Esther Amalka. He's also called Koresh, and he's also called Artachshasta. He's given all those names because all the Malchei Paras were called Artachshasta, and the second year of his Malchus, they began to finish building the Beis HaMikdash, and they built it for 4 years. And when the Goyim asked what they're doing, they said, we're building based on the Rishus of Koresh. We have Rishus from the king. The Goyim sent to Daryavish to see if it was true, and he gave them a Michtav to the Sarim, to his officers in Yerushalayim, that they should let the Jewish people do whatever they need to do, let them bring Karbonos, provide them with everything that they need, and give them everything that they could possibly require. And then a year after the Binyan Abayis, Ezra began to come up to Bavel, from Bavel to Yerushalayim, and he got there in Chodesh Av. So 13 years later, Nechemya went to Yerushalayim to build the Choma, and he was in Yerushalayim for 12 years, and then back to Bavel. So that's what's going on over here. So it says Zemar Uksiv, and it says, Masav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks, wait a second. Biyom Esrim Varba LaChodesh Bashishi Bishnah Shtayim LeDaryavesh. It says that on the 24th day of the month of Bashishi, of the month of Elul, in the second year of Daryavesh, Uksiv Bashvi'i, and then it describes Tishrei as the seventh year, as the seventh month, Be'esrim Be'echad HaChodesh. So wait a second, V'im Isa Bishvi'i Bishnas Gimel Mibayilei, if Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for non-Jewish kings, shouldn't it have said that by the time Tishrei arrived, it was already the third year? Because doesn't the calendar change in Tishrei? So why didn't the calendar change for Koresh in Tishrei? Some Rabbi Avo Koresh Melech Kasher Haya, Levichach Manulo Kamalchei Yisrael. He was a Melech Kasher. That's why he gets counted like the Malchei Yisrael. The Achronim say, what about the fact that he's a Jew? Shouldn't that make it count like the Malchei Yisrael? We just got to saying he was the son of Esther. Esther was Jewish, as far as we know. So doesn't that make him matrilineal descent? Doesn't that make him a Jew? So why do we say, oh, he counts as a Jew because he was a good guy. So we let him count as a Jewish king. We let him count his years as a Jewish king. So some of the Achronim are proved from here, like the Shita of the Poskim, that even though the Vlad is kosher, but he's Tzaruch Gerus, that when you have a Akum Habal Bas Yisrael, even though the Gemara Yivamis, Mishnah Yivamis says the Vlad is kosher, but nevertheless he's Sarach Gerus, so maybe on some level he still has the status of a guy. But it's very, the kasha is very, very strong. Maskar Rav Yosef Chada, so Rav Yosef says, wait a second, if that's the case, Dim came kosher Chada, Dim came kosher Kraya Dadi. Then we're gonna have a problem in the Psukim. Tichsiv Vishitzai Besa Dina Ad Yom Tlasal Yerach Adar Di Hav Hishnas Shis L'Malchus Tar Yavish Malka V'Tani Ba'us Zman L'Shana Aba Ala Ezra Mibavel V'Galuso Ima'u K'siv V'Yavu Yushlayim V'Chodesh HaChamishi Hushnas HaShaviyas L'Melech. Then in Chodesh Av it was the seventh year V'Misa Shnas HaShminis Mibayle. But if he really counted like a Jewish king would count, then it should have been the eighth year. So that's kasha number one. V'od Midami Hasim Koresh HaChadar Yavish. And second of all, we're talking about two different people. We're talking about Koresh and we're talking about Daryavesh. So how can you bring a raya just because Koresh was a Melech Kasher? What that has to do with Daryavesh? So it says Mara, Tana, who Koresh, who Daryavesh, who are Artachshasta? No, it's all the same person. Koresh and Melech Kasher. He was called Koresh because he was Melech Kasher. Artachshasta al-Shem Malchus. So they all had to be called Artachshasta. That was the name of the Malchus. Umashmo, Daryaveshmo. And his name was actually Daryavesh. Says Mara, Mikol Makum Kasha. Okay, that answers the second Kasha. But the first Kasha is still in place. That why doesn't it call it the eighth year? Some Rav Yitzchak lo kasha kan kodem shehichmitz kan liachar shehichmitz, that he turned sour at some point. When he was good, when he was a righteous king, we let his years count like the Jewish kings count. But once he was hichmitz, and we only use the term hichmitz when someone was once good and then soured. Otherwise, if they were just bad, we say Russia, right? But he was hichmitz. Once he turned sour, once he was hichmitz, then we count his years like a non-Jewish king would count. Okay, Bezrachem, we'll pick up with the mask for tomorrow.